been in this book of Jonah. It's in the Old Testament. If you want to go there, we're going to be in Jonah chapter 3 today. If you have a printed Bible, that's where we're going to be. If you have it on your phone, you're welcome to grab it on your phone. Else the words are going to be up here on the screen. But Jonah chapter 3 is kind of the story of how Jonah preaches this message. And if you haven't been with us up to this point, you're probably familiar with the story of Jonah. And that's the story of not a fish. People will kind of think of Jonah and the fish as if the fish is kind of the primary player in the story, and it's just not. That fish is just a bit player in the bigger story. And so this is good news for you if you're new to Scripture and new to Bible study, and maybe you just can't quite get your mind wrapped around, can a person really be swallowed by a fish and live? And if that's just too far of a leap for you, great news for you. That's not the main point of the story. The main point of the story is God's extraordinary, extraordinary grace for people like me and for people like you. Because here's what we've been saying throughout this whole series. We're runners. All of us have gotten to a place in our life, and if you haven't gotten there yet, you will, where we kind of come up to this crossroads where we know this is what I want and this is what God wants, and I can't do both at the same time. And for many of us, more often than not, we kind of do what we want to do. We go the direction we want to go. And what Jonah's story reminds us is that God doesn't neglect us and abandon us when we run, that he calls us back, that we can run from God, but we can't outrun God. And so today, here's the danger that you might experience today is because we're going to talk about a word that kind of has a negative connotation, and I want to try to flip that this morning. We're going to talk about this word repentance and to repent. And sometimes when you hear the word repent, your mind automatically goes to the yelling street preachers, you know, in the city, like turn or burn, you know, those type of things. And it sounds so angry and it sounds so like in your face. But what I want to try to get us to today is that this opportunity to repent that God gives us is the most loving possible thing that he can do, because we're runners. And God, in his mercy, invites us back. And the way that he does that is through repentance. And so here's what I'm making an assumption this morning. I'm making an assumption just before we get into Jonah chapter 3. Here's an assumption that I'm making. And the assumption is that what Christians believe is that God really did create the heavens and the earth, and that you really are formed by God, that you were not just kind of some part of this primordial soup that just accidentally happened across, and it was just this happenstance. And so that's the assumption that I'm making. I'm assuming and I'm believing that God really did plan your life, and God really did create you, and God really does have a plan for you. And it's from that place that God invites us to, here's how I want you to live. Now, if we're just part of this primordial soup, if we just kind of had some atoms crash together and we formed kind of accidentally and there's not really any plan, not really any purpose, then what God says, you know, how to live his life, it doesn't really matter, because we're just accidents. We're just here for a little bit and then we're gone after a little while, and we just kind of become part of the earth and we fertilize some trees until the next group of people come along. But if God really did create, and if God really did form me, and if he really did form you, then that kind of opens the door for him to say, here's how I want you to live. And so the story of Jonah chapter 3 is God calling his people, follow me, move in my direction, because as you move in my direction, your life is better, and your life is able to fulfill everything that I've called it to fulfill. Again, Jonah chapter 3, we're going to look at the whole chapter today, but it starts where we ended last week. Jonah went to Nineveh. He'd gotten spit out of the fish, goes to Nineveh, this huge city that were violent and oppressive people. The word of the Lord, verse number 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and that's good news for us. The story of Jonah is the story of grace and mercy, because God keeps giving us chances. God doesn't say, hey, I'm going to find somebody better. God doesn't say, hey, you didn't do it the right way, and so get out of my way. God gives us second chances. That's grace. That's mercy. God didn't give up on Jonah, and God's not giving up on you. If you're a runner this morning, If you know that this is what God wants and this is what I want, but I've been chasing what I want, God is not giving up on you. God will give you a second chance. He'll give you a third chance. He wants you to come to himself. He came to a second time. Go. Here, the same mission, the same words. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. And verse number 3 is where we want to get to. Jonah obeyed. So this time Jonah said, yes, that's what I'll do. Jonah got to the point where God was able to get a hold of his heart, and Jonah still didn't necessarily want to go, but he decided, I'm going to follow God instead of following me. I'm going to follow God instead of just following my emotions and what I feel. And that's our invitation. That's your invitation. That's my invitation. Is that God says to me, God says to you, go in this direction, and more times than we ought to, we say, no, I think I'll go in my direction. But God wants to get us to the point where we say, okay, God, I will do that. I will think the way that you think want me to think. I will let my temper kind of, I'm going to put my emotions and my anger and all those, that bitterness and all that stuff, I'm going to move it in your direction because you're the author of my life. If you really did create me, I'm going to give you permission to direct me. Now, if you didn't create me, then I'm going to direct me. If I'm created on accident, then I get to direct me and whatever I feel in the moment. But if you created me, I'm going to let you direct me. I'm going to let you point in my direction. So Jonah goes to Nineveh. He obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took about 3 days to go to it. And Jonah began to preach. And Jonah's message was the same as many prophets before him, prophets after him. It's the same message that Jesus gave. It's the same message that the Apostle Peter gives. It's the same message that the Apostle Paul gives. It's the same message that I'm going to try to give today. It's time to repent. It's time. That it's time for us to recognize I'm not moving where God wants me to move. I'm not letting God direct my thoughts. I'm not letting him direct my actions. I'm not letting him direct the way that I speak. And so I am going to repent. I'm going to turn from sin, and I'm going to turn towards God. And so for the rest of our time this morning, we're going to look through verse number 4-10. It's such a short little chapter. But what does repentance look like? And again, If you feel like this repentance is this hard, like angry word, it's just not. Repentance is a beautiful invitation. Repentance is the kindness of God to us, that we can come back to him, that he doesn't give up on us, and so we can turn to him whenever we wake up and realize, I'm a runner. I need to be directed by God. And so here's a few things. If you're taking notes, you could write these down. If you're not taking notes, go ahead and write these down. The first one is this, is that repentance has a time limit. Repentance has a time limit. In other words, there comes a point in my life and in your life when there is no more time to repent, that we have, there's an expiration date, that we will, and I don't want to alarm you, but we will die one of these days, right? Like, that's going to happen. And I hope that it's not today, but it might be. And the scripture says that it's appointed once for a man to die, and then, well, time's out. I don't get to repent anymore after that. That there is a time limit. There is an expiration date on my opportunity to repent. Jonah says to Nineveh the same thing. He says this. He began going a day's journey into the city proclaiming, hey, for Nineveh, you've got 40 days. In other words, in 41 days, there's no more time for you guys to repent. In 41 days, the show is over, and so the time is now. And for us in our life, we don't know. But if you just imagine 40 days, at some point, your time, my ability to turn towards God ceases to exist. And maybe I'm on day one. So I've got lots of time. That's the temptation. Well, I'm young. I've got everything going. I'll follow God when I get older, and maybe once I get married, or once I have kids, and once things slow down, or once I get my career to where it wants to be, or whatever it is, because I've got all this time. But we just don't, and you know this, we just don't know. Maybe you are on day one. Could be. You also might be on day 39. Might be on day 38. But there's a time limit. And you know this. You've met people that are older, and here's what they'll say. Boy, life goes so quick. And you've met people, you've went to the funerals where life just got snuffed out without any warning. And Jonah is saying, hey, to the city of Nineveh, there is a time limit. that if you don't turn to God by this point, then that opportunity is gone. So take advantage of the opportunity while the opportunity is here. Second Peter said the same thing. The Lord, hey, he isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, what is he being? He's being patient for us. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. So he's merciful. He's gracious. He wants to be connected, but wants everyone, here's our word, he wants you to repent. He wants me to repent. He wants me to turn towards him. But the day of the Lord, like that's coming eventually, whether it's the Jesus returns or whether we die, whatever it is, but it's just unexpectedly. And so the temptation that maybe you have, that maybe I have is, well, I've got time. I'm gonna do me for a little while. I'm just gonna let my life be directed by my emotions and by my thoughts and by what I think is right. And then later on, I'll follow God. And I just worry about it. I just think it's a dangerous game because 40 days might be coming to an end. Well, I mean, absolutely, you could be on day one, but we just don't know what day we're on. And so I wanna take advantage of the opportunity today. I want to take advantage of God's invitation to repent today. Here's the second thing that we see from this is that the refusing to repent, it leads to destruction. He said it this way, there are 40 days until Nineveh. Jonah began going into a day's journey. You can go see it on the slide here. Going day's journey into the city proclaiming there's a time limit. And if there is not a turning to God by the end of the time limit, well, there's destruction, that Nineveh is going to be overthrown. And you don't need a preacher to tell you this. You already know this. Even if you're not a follower of God or if you're kind of wrestling with this thing, here's what you intuitively know, is that refusing to follow God leads to consequences. You've seen that. Some of you have borne the shrapnel of other people's refusing to follow God. And it wasn't anything you did, it was something that they did, and your life has been impacted by it. Paul, the apostle, said it this way, well, the wages of sin, or the payment for sin is death, but again, it's gracious, he's merciful, he's loving, the gift of God, the invitation, you don't have to do that, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, sometimes we think about this as eternity and only at the end of our life, am I going to be with God or am I going to be separated by God, from God? And that's absolutely true. There is that. But the wages of sin, there's also death in this life here. And you've experienced that, right? Haven't you experienced some death because of sin? Haven't you experienced some things that are no longer because of sin? There's some relationships that you know of, or maybe you were in yourself, that because of sin, the sin of somebody else, the sin of somebody that you loved, they're dead, they're gone, they're not coming back because of sin. We see it all the time on the news, careers, people lose an entire career. And we think, well, how could they do that? Well, it's just sin. Sin always leads to death every single time. Every single time that when I say, God, I just don't really care, I'm gonna do my own thing, it just leads to death. And it's not always instant. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it takes for weeks or for months or years. But you've lived long enough. I've lived long enough to see the destruction that sin leaves in its wake. And that's what sin does. That's at its core, sin is a destroyer. It's a destroyer of relationships. It's a destroyer of my mind. It's a destroyer of my emotions. It can be a destroyer of my finances. It can be a destroyer of my future. It can be a destroyer of my potential. And eventually, it's a destroyer of my ability to be connected with God. And so, I want to take advantage of the opportunity that God gives me today. I want to repent because there's still time, because I don't want all this death hanging around in my life. The reason that God invites me to live his way is that he knows that path leads to something that you don't want to be in. That direction is going to take you to a place that you don't really want to be. I couldn't exactly figure out who was the original author of this quote. Different people say different things, but I just love the quote. That sin will take you, and you know this, further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. You don't need me to tell you that. You've seen this in your own life. You've seen this in your parents' life or in your boss's life or in your neighbor's life, that something that started off as just a little bit of fun ended up as an addiction. Something that started off as, well, it's not that big of a deal, ended up in a divorce. Something that started off as, well, it's just gray. This is just kind of what we do in my industry, ended up in a big, fat mess. It's just what sin does, because it looks so enticing in the moment. It looks so beautiful and perfect, and it just feels like exactly what I want. And we take a bite of that sin, and here's what we do. Oh, that didn't hurt. Oh, that's fine. I'm not dead. Still got my family, still got my job, still got everything. I'm good to go. And so we take another little bite and move a little ways further. And what happens eventually? Takes you further than you want to go. It gets its hooks into you. The prophet Ezekiel said it this way. Therefore, hey, you Israelites, and he can talk to us too. I'm going to judge each of you according to your own ways. Like, how did I live? Declares the sovereign Lord. Here's our word. Repent, man, turn back, turn towards God. Turn away from all of your offenses. We could say the word sin. Then sin will not be your downfall. That's what sin does. Sin always ends in death. And the call of God is to repent. And it's not an angry call. Why does God call us to repent? It's because it's an expression of God's love. The call to repentance is not this expression of God's anger. The call to repentance is not God's expression of, oh, I'm going to get you. The call to repentance is, I love you so much, and I want to be in a relationship with you so much, and your sin is keeping us at a distance. My sin keeps God at an arm's length from me. And so God invites me in love. Hey, you're separated from me. You're not close to me. Repent. Turn away from sin, because when I turn away from sin, I turn towards God. He calls us away from things. He calls us away from people. He calls us away from opportunities that might right now look exactly like what we want. But God knows that's not your best. I've said this before, and I don't know if you were here, but I say it maybe more often than I should. But every thou shall and thou shalt not that Scripture says, every, hey, do this and don't do this. Do you know where God does that? It's not for his good, it's for our good. It's not that God is trying to get us to jump through a bunch of hoops and, hey guys, look what I'm gonna make them do. Can you believe this is gonna be awesome? This is gonna be hilarious. Let me just make them jump through hoops and maybe make their life miserable. That's not God's purpose. God formed our life and God directs our life so that we can have life in abundance. That's what Jesus said. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and life to the fullest. How do we get life to the fullest? It's not by following every emotion that I have. It's not by following every little whim and every little want that I have. It's saying, God, what do you want in this? What is your call in this? It's not God being judgmental. It's God being kind. Imagine it this way, that if I came over to your house, and if you had a little kid, and that little kid took a knife and went to stick it in a light socket. Some of you have lived this out in real life. And you, what would you do as a good parent? You would yell, right? You'd get a little loud. Now imagine if I came to your house and I saw this and I put my arm around your shoulder and said, hey, you're being a little judgmental. I mean, that seems like you're being a little harsh. I mean, just let the kid do it. What's the big deal? I mean, come on, if that's what he wants to do, just let him do it. It's just totally fine. You would kick me out of your house. You'd say, why do you hate my kids so much? Of course, I see danger before they see danger, and so I'm willing to, man, if I have to grab them and pull them away, I'll do that, because the pain of me grabbing and pulling them away is better than the pain of getting electrocuted. And so it would be crazy for me to say, oh, it's okay. Not a big, because you know that it's not. Now, the where this illustration falls apart is the pain of a knife into a socket is instantaneous. And so it's obvious. Of course, don't do that, because the pain of it is immediate. Our sin is not often immediate, right? And we've, because, oh, I, again, we said it. I can try it for a little while. That's fine. It's no big deal. Everybody's good. I'm still married. Still got my job. Still got my career. Still got a future. I've still got all these things. I didn't get electrocuted. So we go a little further, a little further, a little further. But God sees further than we can. God sees down the line further than I can. And so God, stop it. Get out of there. Well, God, why? It's going to hurt you. It's going to mess you up. It's going to mess up your future. The wages of sin is always death. And so God calls us, turn away from that. Turn away from sin. And in turning away from sin, what am I also turning away from? I'm turning away from the death that sin brings. That's called God's love. That's called God's kindness. That's not God being judgmental. That's not God being like, I'm going to get you. That's God, I love you. I want you to have a life and a future, and so go this way instead. Here's the third one, that repentance starts by believing God's word. And so there's a time limit on repentance, that repentance is the refusing to repent leads to destruction. And then here's how do I start by repenting? Well, first, I believe God's word. Jonah chapter 3, verse number 5 says this. The Ninevites, what did they do? Well, they believed God. They decided, I bet God is right. I bet God's serious. I bet God knows what he's doing. And here's what's true about you. Here's what's true about me. Everybody lives by a standard. Everybody lives by, here's how I'm going to do my life. And so what Christians are invited to do is say, live by this standard. Live by this. This is the way to live, to form my life to this. And so it's not helpful for you to believe me. You believing me will not do you any favors at all. But if you can instead believe God, what does God say? Because society and your friends and whoever it is, people that probably actually have good intentions for you, they're trying to give you a standard. And culture is trying to give you a standard, and hey, here's how to live, and here's what's going to make you happy, and here's what's going to be fulfilling. And we've all tried it, and we've grabbed the carrot, and it didn't end up the way that we wanted it to do. And so we want to do like what the Ninevites did. Well, what if I believed God was telling the truth? What if I believed God's word was the right way for me to go? What if God really does have a plan for my life? What if God really does have a purpose for my life? What if choosing to forgive when I would rather be bitter, what if that eventually is going to be better off for me? What if moving in God's direction when it comes to the way that I think and the way that I talk and the way that I live, what if that is actually the better way to go? That's how repentance starts. Isaiah said it this way, God's thoughts, they are nothing like your thoughts. And that's good because my thoughts are crazy sometimes, right? And yours are too. Don't let me be on an island by myself. Sometimes, you know, you wake up one morning thinking one thing, and by the end of the day, you're thinking something totally different. And at the beginning of the day, weren't you just 100% sure this is exactly the way I should go? And yes. And then by the end of the day, oh, maybe not. And so if we live by that, if we live by the ups and downs of my emotions and what seems good at the right time, I'm just going to be all over the map. And so God says, I've got a better way for you. I've got a better way. My thoughts, they're better than yours, higher than yours. And not because you're dumb, it's just because you're finite. It's not because you're dumb, it's just because you can only see right now. I have no idea what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what's coming 30 minutes from now. No idea. I have an idea, but no idea. And so God says, it's not that you're stupid. It's not that you're just this pile of bricks. It's just that you're just finite. You can only see what you can see. And that's not your fault. That's just life. That's just reality. That's just humanity. So God says, what would it look like if you could see a little further? What would it look like if you followed somebody that could see a little further, that knew the direction that you should go, that sees the dangers that you can't see? Says the Lord, hey, my ways, they're far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. In other words, his ways aren't just a little bit better, they're way better. That's what he's saying here. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so here's how repentance works. Repentance recognizes I'm gonna take advantage of the opportunity to repent while there is the opportunity, because I know that refusing to repent leads to destruction. We've already seen that in all of our lives. And I'm gonna start by what does God's word say, and let me form my life to that. And then here's the second thing that it does, that it realizes the gravity of sin. That it recognizes I'm not just a mistaker. I'm not just like a whoopsie-daisy. No, I'm a sinner that I have said, God, I know what you want, I just don't care. God, I know which direction you want me to go, it's just, I'm just not interested. And so it realizes, boy, this, I'm in trouble. I'm in bad shape, and I can't get to God on my own. That's recognizing the gravity of sin. Verse number 5-8, the Ninevites, they believed God. I'm gonna shape my life to this. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth, which is like goat. It would be really, really uncomfortable, like goat's hair garments, which was a bad idea. Don't laugh at that joke. That's not a good joke. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, even he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with a sackcloth, I'm not gonna do the joke again, and sat down in the dust. This proclamation he issued in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Do not let the people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Don't let them drink, but let the animals and the people, or the people and the animals, be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call, here's our word, urgently to God. They're saying, hey, we're not in just a little bit of trouble, we're in deep trouble. I'm not just a little bit off track, I'm way off track. And the only way for me to get to God is for God to have mercy. The only way for me to get back to God is not to earn my way there, but I've just got to throw myself on the love and the mercy of God. The only solution to my sin, the only solution to your sin, is the grace of God. But we've got to recognize the gravity of it, that I'm not just it's just a mistake. I chose on purpose to do what I knew wasn't right. That's called sin. I moved in my own direction knowing that God was calling me to go in the other direction. That I recognize the gravity of my situation, and I know the only way that I can get removed from that situation and rescued from that is if God has mercy on me. It recognizes the gravity. And then repentance, and this is important. It moves in a different direction that you can't and I can't. I can't repent and keep living the same way at the same time. Those two things are mutually exclusive. That if it's true repentance, that means I'm moving in a different direction. It's not the idea that I'm gonna, hey God, please forgive me. I'm gonna empty my sin bucket and then just keep doing whatever I wanted to do. And then just, you know, because we get caught in this mentality, and the Apostle Paul saw this himself. I don't know if I have it on the screen here in a second or not. But they got caught in this mentality, the people that Paul were talking to, that says, hey, God is so gracious that I can just keep sinning and do whatever I want because I can just always come back to God for forgiveness. And so it's taking advantage of this mercy and grace of God. And Paul would say, no. You can't do that. Jonah chapter 3, verse 8 says, let everyone call urgently on God, and hey, we've got to go a different direction. We can't repent and keep moving in the same direction. We've got to give up something for them as their evil ways and their violence. They didn't make excuses. They didn't do the thing that I've so often done. Well, this is just kind of the way that I am. Well, I mean, the reason I'm like this is because my parents were like this. The reason that I have such a bad temper is my dad had such a bad temper and his dad had such a bad temper. And so this is just the way that I am and I just can't help it. And so I know that I probably should do better, but this is just the way that I am. This is just who I am. It's not excuses. It's saying, God, I'm in bad shape. I need to move in your direction. You were right, God, you were right. I was wrong. And I'm moving in your direction from here on out. That's what repentance looks like. You were right, I was wrong. I'm moving in a different direction. Isaiah said it this way, seek the Lord, here's our timeline again. Seek the Lord while he may be found. There's an expiration date. Call on him while he's near. There's going to be a time where that's not possible. Let the wicked, that's us by the way, that's me, I'm wicked. Let the wicked forsake their ways, go a different direction. And the unrighteous, I'm in that group, their thoughts. Let them, here's what it is, turn to the Lord. What does turn to the Lord look like? That's repentance. I'm wicked. I'm unrighteous. I'll be the first one to go there. We went to the wrong slide. That's okay. And so we say, hey, all right, I'm going to turn from sin. I can't repent and keep going in that direction. It's two things have to happen at the same time. Let them turn to the Lord and have mercy on them and to our God, for he will. What's he going to do? He freely pardons. Well then, this is what the Apostle Paul said. Should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it any longer? It's this idea that I'm not just getting God's forgiveness and then going to keep doing whatever I want. I'm recognizing God's mercy and grace, and then I'm saying, from now on, from this moment on, I'm going different. I'm moving different. I don't want to get caught back up into that trap. Does that mean you're going to be perfect? Does that mean you're never going to stumble and fall? That doesn't mean that. It just means that I'm pointing myself and my life in a different direction. Here's the last thing. We're going to be done for the day. It's been a little heavy, I know. But here's the beauty. Repentance is always met. It's always met with God's compassion. Every time. That in Jonah's case, when he was in the fish, what was repentance met with? God's compassion. We're going to see here in Nineveh's case, what was repentance met with? God's compassion. In your case, in my case, if you would choose to repent, if you would choose to turn from sin and follow God, what's it going to be met with? Not God saying, well, we'll see. Well, we'll give it a few days and see if you're really serious or if you just got caught red-handed. Well, no, it's met with compassion. It's met with grace. Verse number 9 and 10, these are the Ninevites saying, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. The Apostle Paul said in Acts, repent then, as Peter rather, repent then and turn to God. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. Repent, turn to God. Why should we do that? So that our sins might be wiped out and so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if you could have some refreshing? Wouldn't it be great if you could get a breath of fresh air in your life? Do you know how that comes? It's repenting. Repenting is God's invitation to come back into relationship with him. And so my invitation to you, if you recognize that you're a little bit like Jonah, a little bit like the Ninevites, a little bit like this guy right here on stage that knows what God wants and just says, I don't think I want to do that and goes the other way, that knows that this is what God is calling, but I just feel like this would be more fun, whatever that looks like for you, my invitation is, would you repent? Would you move in the other direction? Because God loves you. And God wants a plan and a future in your life to be bright and full of life. And that cannot happen while I'm moving in my own direction. If God formed me, I'm going to let God direct me. If God formed me, I'm going to let God show me which the path I should take is. And so my invitation to you this morning is, just throw yourself at the mercy of God and just see that God wouldn't meet you with extraordinary, extraordinary compassion, extraordinary love. Why does God call us to repent? Because God loves us. God loves you. And God wants your future to be brighter than it would be otherwise. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly this morning, humbly knowing that we do not deserve your grace, and we don't deserve your mercy. We deserve judgment, and we deserve the chaos that is around us because of our sin. But because you love us, you have provided a way for us to be connected to you. And so, Lord, I'm praying for all of us here this morning, those that might be watching online, maybe watching online some other time, that you would, in your grace, point out areas of all of our lives where we are not following you, where we need to repent. All of us have those places. None of us are perfect. And so, Lord, would you show us, would you shine a light on those areas that we need to repent? Shine a light on those areas where we need to move in a different direction. Lord, I'm so grateful for your patience and your kindness to us. But help us to not take advantage of that. Help us to repent while the opportunity presents itself. to throw ourselves on the mercy and the grace of God, knowing that when we do that, we're met with compassion. Lord, for some of us, that's hard for us to imagine going in a different direction, because that means some big changes in our life. It means stopping some things or starting some things. Lord, I'm praying that you would just give us the faith to do what you've called us to do, that you'd give us the courage to do what you've called us to do, and that we would just choose in every area of our life to follow you because of your grace and because of your love. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.